you just threw that beer. Real chug. You're
had
making
to
up
chug for both of us.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Beers Hello. In, a Tipsy Political Roundtable. How are you guys doing?
I am Cody Lindquist.
My name is Charlie Todd. We are the hosts of the show.
Yes, we are married. I am carrying his baby right now, and I am not drunk. Now, those of you that are like, but that's the premise of the show. Well, fuck you, pregnant women.
Too bad.
Pregnant women host shows for 2 years and then get pregnant and then have to take a break from drinking.
But and we've been lying
we have
for
been lying.
Several months of shows.
But you know what, guys? It's Trump's America, and I can lie about it whatever I want. So I lied to you and told you I was drinking when I was not.
So this is a show yes. where we get together some of our comedy writer friends, comedians, and we talk about politics. We drink a couple
yeah.
of beers.
Yeah.
Our panelists have been drinking both beer and wine.
Yeah,
in the
so
room.
We got wine, seltzer for me. I'm drinking a Coke later, so it's going to be crazy.
We want to thank the Bronx Brewery for providing us
yes.
with our beer tonight. We're
Lovely
drinking
beer.
Their Session IPA. Another fun announcement is tune in on February 11th to watch the Showtime show Our Cartoon President,
oh, yeah.
Animated show. Cody will be playing the Melania in that show.
I do.
So
I
that's,
play Melania
we're
Trump
super excited
in that
about
show.
That.
So listen to it.
Stephen Colbert's producing a show on
yes.
Showtime. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Everyone steal your parents' password.
Steal your parents' cable login.
Like we did. Login. Hey, you know what? We're in our 30s. We have a child and another one on the way, and we still steal our parents' passwords.
Get that Showtime anytime.
Yep.
They're not a sponsor. We're just very excited that Cody's on the show. And our next show is going to be on February 26th right here at this theater, so come back for that. And we podcast this, so go...
Yeah. Subscribe,
you know,
or what? It's not subscribe.
Review and rate.
Yeah,
or,
Charlie was.
He
yelled at me because I'm like, you know, subscribe to our podcast. He's like, that's not what people do.
I didn't
they review it and they rate it. But you know what? Our panel is having. I can hear them over there. They're laughing and having a great time.
Our tipsy panel's ready to get up here.
Yeah,
let's
they are ready.
Introduce them. Let's have some little intro music, Mr. Bear. A writer from the President's Show. We're very excited to have her here. Mitra Johari is here.
From Late Night with Stephen Colbert, Ariel Dumas.
And finally, one of our favorite guests, maybe the most frequent guest on this show.
I think he is the most frequent guest on this show. We'll have to tally it up, but I'm pretty sure it's him.
From the President's Show, Anthony Attamane. Two beers in hand.
Everyone has to adjust their seats and make sure that there's room for their beer and it doesn't fall.
I think you just teabagged the microphone.
Well, welcome, guys. I really don't know what we're going to talk about today. It's been so slow in the news. that was a joke, guys. Donald Trump is president. It's a wild ride.
I want to talk about Stormy Daniels for
okay,
a while.
I do too.
Because
I
the media
too.
Is not talking about Stormy Daniels
and
enough.
Charlie loves Stormy Daniels.
You know what? Stormy Daniels was never a top 10 favorite of mine. But
no,
she's 38. I'm 39. God. You know, I'm familiar with her work.
Really?
I mean, you know, she was probably at her prime when I was in college. So, yeah, I'm familiar with her work. But
that was pre-me. Charlie doesn't watch porn anymore.
Of course not. I don't want to talk about...
Anthony is so appalled by this discussion.
I would say, strangely, for all of my disgusting choices in my life, I'm quite sort of naive when it comes to
you
the
don't know
porn
Stormy.
World.
I
could not tell, except for the Houston 500, which is the one where the lady had 500 people have sex with her in a day.
Whoa.
I've never
yes.
heard of this.
Oh, my God. Wow. It happened in
Dear
L.A. in
Siri.
The 90s.
Siri.
Houston 500. It was the Houston 500, and it was I mean, it was insane.
I just know
quite
two
a champion.
Girls,
she's a champion.
If you win two girls, one cup.
I'm
going to
go
it.
Home and watch.
My favorite
it.
Part.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's
I love worth
wait,
the watch.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say two girls, one cup?
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah.
You watch it?
Oh,
it's hard to find.
It's
now.
Fake duty,
so
by
sexy,
the way.
So
it
sexy.
Comes
like
out of
chocolate duty. She enemized the chocolate and then put it.
Let's bring it back to politics.
We're just going to talk about pornography for an hour.
It does have duty crusting on it, but it's mostly chocolate.
All right.
Anyway. Stormy
Daniels has been around. I think probably she had a lot of VHS tapes. I mean, she's been around.
Yes,
right?
Okay.
If you're 38 years old, you've
I've now seen her and was like, oh, yeah, I remember her.
Anyway, I feel like everybody is dancing around this issue, and the mainstream media is not covering the fact that our president had an affair with a porn star over the course of a year, which started 4 months after his child was born, and involved him being spanked with a Forbes magazine with his face on the cover.
Oh, God.
And his kids.
And also, and
his picture was on there too.
Oh, his kids were on there
Which
too.
Which one?
Not Eric. It was just Ivanka and Don Jr.
Because he gets left out.
His name and the one he actually wants to fuck. It makes sense.
That's right. Yeah. I think Eric's face makes his bone go down.
Hey, he's not the only one.
Okay, but
Eric
why?
Trump gets me so.
I know Eric Trump is such.
This is such a dirty conversation.
We're slipping off our chairs.
So why isn't it the lead? Like, it, had this happened to Democratic President Obama, right.
Hillary?
Hillary.
If Hillary,
Ron Jeremy had fucked.
This makes Hillary me so happy.
We know what we'd be like. She deserves it. She deserves it.
Yeah, they'd be like, Hillary deserved that. Ron Jeremy did.
Now, I waited on Ron Jeremy once at a restaurant, and Ron Jeremy did not tip me well. So, yeah,
that's surprising because he usually tips everybody well.
Hey,
the puns are fine.
Okay, wow.
So, no, but I mean, here's a question: Do you think what Bill Clinton did was worse than what Trump did?
Yes, I agree.
So I mean, it's this is a consensual relationship. It's cheating on your wife is what he did, but it's also just like it's so salacious because it's a porn star, and it's more than just a consensual relationship because there was this like dangling of power. I'm
going to
put you on the Celebrity Apprentice if you fuck me.
Yeah, she wasn't having sex with him because she just couldn't stop herself. She was having sex with him because she wanted to be on Celebrity Apprentice, and he kept saying, like, I'll put you on Celebrity Apprentice.
I think he trades exclusively in transactional relationships.
Oh, sure. Nobody's having sex with him for want.
I think he loves hard and means it.
Oh, he's a romantic.
What if that was true? What if that was a truth about Trump that he inside
so
he was so romantic and so loving?
You can just tell.
there are multiple porn stars from this same celebrity golf event that had relationships.
Charlie
with and the other one was
what
not
is this golf event that had all these porn stars at it.
Yeah, I'm gonna golf now.
Yeah. Kevin Nealon was also at that event.
I don't think
there
were porn stars.
Kevin Nealon
was there.
Kevin Nealon took a picture. Why is Wicked Pictures have a booth at a golf event? I don't know. That seems weird to me.
Well, I think it's one of those, like, I'll say briefly, is like, I think that Trump's events are sort of like, you know, like a cheap kids' party. Like,
what was it his golf event?
I think that it was at Mar-a-Lago, right?
No, it was in Lake Tahoe, I think.
Oh, it was Lake Tahoe. Well, I think it's like those sort of things where it's like you have a photo booth and you have like a dinner and golfing is for fun.
There's golfing, there's porn stars over here.
Yes,
sure,
but
sure.
I think that it's one of those.
There's like a Ford Bronco with some flames on the side over
But that's
this
a real
thing.
Yeah, there's like a bouncy room. But that's true, though, that like that, I mean, there's a lot of people with money and power who do things like this.
Well, it's also just this.
I'm not trying to.
Yeah, porn stars are the petting goats of adults.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It's true.
I mean, not to get too deep with
down
it, but
down to the square eyes.
Yeah. You know, when a woman is hosting an event or women are planning events, we don't like hire hot men to come walk around the event. Like, that is a male thing to be like, we need to have some bitches with big boobs walking around.
Well, that's
like
women are property.
That's reflective of our society, though, right?
Yes, I mean, exactly. But I think, you know what really pisses me off, and this is the crux of the argument, is that this came out the same day that he was the first president to give a speech at the Right to Life March, and we found out that he had bareback sex with her. No condom.
He does not wrap it up.
No way.
So this man is this man, and then other men like him are legislating our bodies when they are clearly hypocrites and using, you know, Christians as voting pawns.
I heard he pulled out, and I think if he had impregnated her, they would have kept it. That's what I think.
Charlie.
Well, you know what they call people who practice the rhythm method?
Catholics.
Parents.
Parents, that's good.
Hello, that's my sex ed teacher, Joe, from 1991.
So Mike Pence came out today and said that...
You did?
Yeah! Wait a minute, that's not what she meant.
Good for him!
No, he's not
so brave.
I mean, we...
By Jerusalem.
mother.
He came out Jerusa today with a statement that is not that he's gay.
No, he's not gay yet.
No, no, not gay yet.
Oh, my God. Anthony just said, Jerusa, come. This show has gone off the rails.
It just started. He said that the Stormy Daniels controversy is a baseless accusation. So, do you think he's seen the pee-pee tape? I mean, he is just so complicit in lying for Donald Trump. Like, why is he covering for him so much?
Go ahead. You go. I was just going to say, I think they got to all the bases. Am I right? Baseless, get it? I tried to tweet this earlier. It didn't work out. Say what you were going to say.
You're working on your stand-up act in here. I love it.
It wasn't baseless. It was all the bases.
It was all the bases. No, nothing. All right.
Still not hitting.
Jerusa, come!
Okay, Mitra?
Oh, I was just going to say, someone as like delusional and someone who lives in his own reality the way that Mike Pence does can certainly believe that Donald Trump didn't fuck a porn star.
You really think he believes that?
No, but I think he could. I mean,
because that's
sure.
What's frustrating to me.
I don't
think he believes it. I think he knows Donald Trump is.
I think it's the way that you like you date somebody and you're like, no, like he's like really cool and normal, and like my life is normal. And then yeah. A year later,
I stuffed my body in the back seat of a car.
Yeah, and then like a year later, you're like, whoa, where was I?
But you're talking about like a 22-year-old woman thing. That's like, this man is like an old man.
But he's clearly like an undeveloped mind.
And sheltered.
Yeah. I think, I mean, just being from like Ohio and knowing that kind of man, it's like you can delude yourself into thinking that you live in a world that you don't live in, and people act in a way that you would act. And that's why they think like gay people shouldn't get married and stuff.
Right.
Because they're sheltered, and they never leave their town, and they're proud of that.
Right. And they've never met an immigrant or someone who's Muslim or anything. So it's like, yeah, he can, Trump, I mean, sure, Pence also believes Jesus can lift us up into the clouds at any moment, leaving our shoes and the sinners behind, you know? Like, he believes in a lot of kooky things.
I'm even more cynical in the sense that I think that, I mean, I did hear one story from someone, I wish I could cite any of this, so this is total, like, bullshit, but someone, you know, that apparently, you know, Pence had his days running around West Hollywood and, like, you know, I actually think...
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, really?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of rumor in the community about him in a certain time when he was West Hollywood. Like, and
rumors from the gay community of, like, him checking
so
out...
So I just...
When was the governor of Indiana hanging out in West Hollywood?
I haven't heard that rumor.
I don't know this.
I think during his days when he was doing that bad talk radio show he did before, after he became a Republican, before when he was a Democrat very earlier on. I don't know if you know that about Mike Pence, but he was originally a Democrat, actually. Yeah. And then he flipped to become a radio host. So I think he's just a disingenuous individual who probably partly compartmentalizes and divorces the idea that Trump could do that. And I think, secondly, like it seems like most sort of American right Christian sort of pseudo-fascist thinking... It doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
it's
there's a cynicism
about maintaining
and
the
an
line.
Opportunistic
yeah, it's just maintaining the line. Just being like,
I don't think that he believes this. I think he knows Trump is a terrible person.
His whole life is PR. Like his whole thing, you know, when the pussy tape came out, he was like, "We're gonna prey on it." So it like doesn't matter at all what he and mother think.
But what end? Holding the line for what? So babies don't get killed? Is it just
holding
about abortion?
The line for the fact that you have a listless, captainless ship? Where essentially the Republican Party, with control of both the House and the Senate, is able to drive a policy with a pen that will sign it. You have a congressionally driven government where the executive is completely absent and the bureaucracy is unfulfilled. This is the perfect situation to allow all this policy to get passed without anyone really being responsible for it. So, of course, they love this situation. This is a perfect sweet spot to do all... I mean, you know, looking at what happened today is a prime example of the, you know, sort of the complete feckless Democratic lack of strategy and the Republicans railroading in every direction, where you have Chuck Schumer essentially apologizing to Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor for the shutdown.
No, Anthony, it's fine because Mitch McConnell promised.
I owe you, Mitch promised.
He promised that he's gonna get a. So if you got y'all know what happened today?
Yeah. So let's talk about the shutdown. Are you satisfied, Charlie, with our Stormy Daniels talk?
Yeah, that's fine.
Wait, I just want to say one thing about Stormy Daniels. Two things, actually. It was so, the funniest, saddest part of the story is when she goes, ugh, here we go. Raise your hand if you've said that before sex to yourself. Gals?
Well, she was invited on.
Like, ugh, here we go. I'm awesome about to get fucked by someone I don't
like. Fuck you guys.
She was invited out on a date. She thought she was going on a date.
That's because they're with the men that they do that with, so they can't say it.
Oh, yeah.
They're with them, so they're like, no, no.
I'm into this.
There we go. Tonight's going to be a real rough one.
The Ubers look like they're pretty far away tonight. I bet I can fit this in.
Right?
I agree that she knew she was going to have sex that night, but she was also invited on a date. She got dressed up, but she shows up at a hotel room, and it's just a man in his pajamas laying on a couch.
Yeah, but I think it was more like, okay, already? All right. But I think the other thing that's funny is that she did that show by the airport in Greensboro,
she was
South Carolina?
Greenville, South Carolina. She was at Trophy Strip Club last night.
Yeah. But, like, she should get a PR person. She could be making fucking bank, and she's, like, legit, like, well, I'll do what I know. Let me rent out the airport strip club.
In Greenville,
I'll be
South
the
Carolina.
Goat you can pet.
That might have already been on her. That might have already been on her itinerary. I'm going to just give her this credit. It might have already been on her itinerary.
It wasn't. There's a New York Times article about her appearance at Trophies.
Oh, she booked
Charlie,
it.
You're
she,
so intellectual, you only get your information on porn stars from the New York Times.
That's correct. That's correct.
Guys, that's not a good East Coast liberal.
No, I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. I could name strip clubs in Columbia. I don't know the Greenville strip club scene.
Last night you were just Googling, like, when can I see Stormy Daniels next time I'm home?
If she
came to New York, I'd go.
I'd go too.
How much do you guys
see her and talk to her? And then while she's dancing,
art.
Be like, Miss Daniels, question. And it turns into a press conference.
Well, they were shirtless.
And then she's just naked, but using the pole as a podium.
I trust her so much more than Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I would trust her.
Yes, but that is what happened. The journalist showed up at Trophies in Greenville, South Carolina.
Really?
Yeah. To get asked some questions of Stormy. What do you guys think the cover charge was at Trophies last night?
25.
It was $20.
It was 20.
Twice the usual
cover.
It's normally 10, and the owner said in the Times article that he respects his customers. He was only going to double the normal rate for Stormy.
Did it come with an all-you-can-eat shrimp?
I don't know about that.
It's just one shrimp, but it's all you can eat.
Anyway, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's disgusting that he cheated on his wife four weeks after his child was born.
Thank you.
It's disgusting that he dangled appearance in the Celebrity Apprentice in front of anybody. And
I think that's
if it was anybody else, it would be the first story of the nightly news.
I'm
going to
say this:
2 months.
If admitting to sexual assault didn't get the news's attention, I highly doubt that a consensual pay-for-play sex act is going to. I mean,
we haven't even talked about the fact that the $130,000 was paid by his lawyer.
It wasn't pay-for-play. It was just play, and she said, "Don't pay. I don't want him to pay me."
Oh, she didn't take the money?
No, well, it wasn't pay at the moment. It was paid later to hush up a month before the election.
Oh, yeah, it was free sex.
Sorry,
and then it was,
I confused
the
story.
Get your porn details right.
Okay, now let's talk about this government shutdown.
Okay,
we're moving on to the government
less
shutdown.
Less sexy topic.
Our, like, 48-hour government shutdown?
Yeah, it was like
just a weekend.
So,
it was so scary.
You tried to go to so many national parks this weekend, right?
They were all open.
I was driving around all the parks.
Well, I know we are also like, it is really, I mean, I know you're making a joke, but it is scary for people who rely on their paycheck from the government to have the government shut down.
It's the military and people getting veterans benefits.
But they don't know if it's going to be 3 weeks or it's going to be 2 days. So,
I did not think that they were gonna, like, the Democrats were gonna have a backbone about it.
No. So what do you think? Do you think that do you think the Democrats were successful? Who won?
Yeah.
I think they fucking killed it.
Nailed it.
They absolutely crushed. The Republicans are shaking in their boots.
Yeah.
They're just gonna leave office.
They're gonna think better of themselves.
Those Republicans are like, we better make some deals now because we don't wanna have another milk toast shutdown over the weekend. Where nobody gets paid anyway.
Yeah, this is this all is going to repeat itself February 8th, where it's just going to be the exact same thing happening again.
Yeah. What if we get one day off again? Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I think that not only was it pathetic, I feel like Chuck Schumer is really proving to be the mamaluke that he is. I mean,
the what?
Mamaluke is Italian for sort of like a mama's boy. You know, he's just
cool.
he's just schnook.
Who knew that? Raise your hand if you knew that.
No hands are up.
He's a schnook.
You say things so confidently, Anthony. I'm like, everyone knows this but me.
Well, he's a schnook. You know, he's
a glibble globble. You know what I mean.
I just think that, like, I think the thing people should know is that the Democrats might take the House and even the Senate in 2018. But nice. I'll tell you right now, Trump's going to win re-election if we don't get some. I mean, I don't know what anybody's thinking. This thing is rolling along at a pace at which anybody who steps in its way, it's not changing. He is unfortunately succeeding.
But his approval,
I mean, it's crazy, but he's succeeding.
I want to push back. His approval numbers are really low. All these special elections, Democrats are winning. What
Big
happened
deal.
In Virginia? What happened in Wisconsin recently?
But why?
Why do you say that?
Because it doesn't matter. In fact, if the Democrats win the House and the Senate, quite frankly, the population, including his diehards, unless there's some incredible candidate that doesn't exist yet, then people are going to go, well, now we have a balance of power. So you know what? Let's keep Trump in the executive because now we have the Dems in the
Senate.
They'll temper him.
I mean, unless Robert Mueller pulls through and releases, he's moving faster than people thought. I honestly thought he'd be done by Christmas. He wasn't. And boy, I would Stormy Daniels him one to get things moving. Am I right? He's got
Me
a strong
too.
Jaw.
Good looking guy.
He's got all
Me
his
too.
Hair. He's tall. Anyway, but I really do think, like, it is not just, I mean, the approval numbers suck, but at this moment, like, the New York Times, it's like beyond the approval numbers. No one cares about those. They care about what they see.
It's insane to, like, trust polls now. Why would anyone trust, like...
Ba-dump-bump. Yeah, for sure. That was my rim shot. Like, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, I agree.
I thought that was another Italian phrase.
Yeah, ba-dump-bump.
I mean, I don't know. I just made that up.
I mean, we all... Like,
people
trusted polls and, like... Now we know not to trust that anymore.
Yeah, we burned Nate Silver in effigy.
Yeah, enough. I'm like so tired of seeing like we should retire Nate.
So what do you think what can Democrats do? How should they have handled this if they wanted to have any movement? I think one of the things that I find shocking is how badly they message what they're doing.
Yes, don't take your base for granted.
They take their base for granted, but also President Trump has already won by calling it chain migration instead of like being able to bring over your like spouse
parents.
Yeah,
or your
saving
parents
Nana.
To help. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, most of us who know immigrant families, it's like, well, I have plenty of mom friends whose like parents have come over because they need help with their kids. Like, that should of course be allowed. You should be able to bring your mom or your dad or your spouse over.
Yeah, my family can't come here.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It is insane to think that, like, you can't bring over family members that are helping you live or just even wanting to be around them.
And it wasn't good before Trump. I mean, there were visa waiver restrictions that kept my family from easily being able to come. It took my grandpa 10 years to get citizenship here. Like, it's always been
you're
hard.
You're from Canada.
I'm from Canada.
No. They let white people in, okay? They have no problem with that. Are you Iranian?
I'm Iranian.
Yeah. Iran is one of the toughest places to get a visa from.
It's already terrible, but this administration has certainly made it much harder and actively tried to make it much harder. But there were visa waiver restrictions under the Obama administration that, you know, people didn't care about then.
But people aren't talking about stories.
Exactly,
like,
right?
People aren't talking about stories like yours. They're not seeing those stories on the news and in the media, and we're not doing the messaging well of saying, like, hey, it's not chain migration. It's not this, like, you can bring your third cousin's cousin, whatever, anyone's allowed in. It's, hey, I just had a baby. Can my, you know, mom come and help me raise my kid?
And it's also, like, why not your third cousin come in? Like, they're probably really cool. The screening process is so intense. It takes years. Right. The, like, interview process, my grandpa was preparing for months leading up to his interview process. He was doing all these questions that I didn't know the answers to. It's insane. I mean, it's just like, it's so hard to get into the country, and you have to want it so badly, and there's so many steps that would stop you from getting into the country if you were, like, not a good person.
Like, I can't even mail in the thing that says, like, choose your energy bill using solar power from New York State. I'm like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
I think that's a scam anyway. I wouldn't do that.
I cry every time I have to, like, make a doctor's appointment. Like,
yeah.
I didn't do my taxes for 10 years.
Whoa.
I just paid all my taxes. Oh. I did the smartest thing. I didn't pay my taxes.
And then so
finally,
smart.
Then finally I made money and I was like, okay, I can pay him now.
Did it work out?
I just gambled. Yeah, it was fine. They're like, you're fine. I was like, see, it was fine.
I was going
to
say,
you don't need to pay your fucking taxes.
Honestly, thank you,
bunch of bullshit. You could just wait it out and die. I beat fucking Con Ed.
Anthony.
7 years I waited. I owed Con Ed $2,500. I waited 7 years and they sent a letter and they went, you beat us. Literally, it was like, you beat us. You don't have to pay us, but we'd like it if you did. And I was like, fuck you, Con Ed.
They didn't turn your electricity off?
No, I just did it under someone else's name.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, so when you eventually paid your federal income tax, you paid a penalty and you paid interest?
No, I argued with them about the penalties. You get a tax bird, you pay the tax accountant. They're cheaper to pay them to argue down the penalty.
Okay, all right.
Wow, and you're now an accountant, right?
Yeah, I just, fuck that, fuck them.
And Anthony, who do you credit for giving you all this success?
The president of the United States. So listen. Oh,
that
God,
burp was
that
Anthony
risotto.
And Tamanik for
that
the record.
Risotto. But I want to just add this. Oh, whatever. In Turkey, it'd be a great compliment. So. Whoa, Stormy Ariel, Daniels!
Ariel spilt some beer foam on her shirt, and
the
it
first
looked
one
like
to open
semen.
The chair
that was
beer.
The joke.
I'm
this is a dirty
foam
show.
Mo. Wait, I just want to say this one thing about what we're talking about, and it's going to be a grander thing, which is that I think the Democratic Party and maybe politics in general and media, I think the deeper issue is that we have lost sight of the idea of what is a vision for humanity. Yeah. And so because we don't have a grand vision, we are right now like ants in an ant farm. Our desire is to simply get more sugar and drag it down into the tunnel and then get more sugar. And they've designed it perfectly. We're all plugged into these things. Plugged into phones. We're binge watching stuff. We're purchasing new things. We're getting new stuff. We all live in the comfort of one of the most effective civilizations of the major powers in the world, and we are not paying attention, most of us, to issues like what Mitra's talking about, where my mother-in-law, when she goes to Karachi, I have to worry about whether she'll come back. And she's lived in the United States for fucking 40 years. She wouldn't know what the fuck to do in Karachi for more than 4 days, because there's not much to do in Karachi.
I have friends there. I can hook her up.
But some really good bars.
Yeah, they're great. No, she just never yelps when she's there. But
she never yelps.
She never yelps. Yeah. She just screams.
Wait, that's the saddest part about what's going on today is that she does not yelp.
She doesn't yelp. But when I
I just want to interrupt you. The sugar's wanting the ants wanting the sugar. There's no overarching message. There isn't from our elected Democratic leaders. But as we're going back to Democratic messaging, over 2 million people marched this weekend.
Yes.
Back to back. See, that's a really rare thing, actually. You usually only see giant marches on the one same day. You rarely see them spread out across a Saturday and a Sunday.
Yes.
It was huge. And, like, the people are angry and the women are angry. But, like, the Democrats didn't use any of that messaging when they were talking about the shutdown.
Yes.
They didn't say, like,
but who's seizing that? You're right. Who's seizing that?
Fuck me. I don't know.
Or who's the African-American community, which gets railroaded by the Democratic Party. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that the Democratic Party has its hands in so many things, so many donations that fuck the African-American community. And, you know, it's like we get scared about it because we're afraid to, if you're a liberal, to admit that we participate. I mean, payday loans, which is the most predatory fucking thing, which affects primarily the African-American community. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you name it. They're all taking those paid. Dick Durbin, all these motherfuckers take this shit. So, like, until we clean house, my argument is it's less about the Republicans and Trump. In a bad relationship, you work on yourself. And you don't work on the other person. And the Democratic Party has spent its entire time blaming everybody else except itself for how fucked up it is in trading in all these social issues without putting any of its money where its mouth is. And that's the problem, and that's why they lose.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
All right.
I actually really disagree.
Fight, fight, fight.
fight, fight. Anthony has left his seat here. He's
but also like along with that, like you can't run. That's going to be the big challenge of 2018 and 2020. You can't run just against something.
Mm. Yeah.
You have to have a four, which is why I think people got so jizzed out about Bernie, jizzed out at phrase trademark me right now. Because he had that whole Paul Simon ad that was like Americans holding hands, whereas like Hillary was basically like her constant onslaught was like no. She was trying to run it like a traditional campaign when she was fighting a madman.
But to be fair, Hillary's platform of like, y'all, this guy's crazy.
Right.
Did make a lot of sense.
It did, but we need something to fight for.
We also need to toe this line, and I agree with you. We need to revolutionize how we run and who we fight for and what we stand for. But also, these purity tests kill us. If we have these purity tests for our elected officials because they have, you know, maybe they supported a bank in the past or whatever, and we don't go out and vote for them and we let a literal madman win instead, that's where, you know, and I know, Anthony, you have always been like, really like, listen, I didn't love Hillary, but like, you got to go out and fucking vote for her.
Right.
And I think like, we all agree that that's the way to go, but it's hard to have that message and then pull people back if Bernie doesn't win or, you know, a senator you love doesn't win and say, okay, but Hillary's still better than Donald Trump.
Sure. I think it's the problem is that it's this issue of like crumbs, you know, versus crusts. It's
right.
Like it becomes an issue where what we do is we're like, well, I'll eat the crumbs or I'll eat the crust. And that, yes, obviously Trump was a terrible thing and Hillary would have been clearly a better choice. But at the same time, you then go, well, then we reinforce the fact that the Democratic Party can get away with sort of continuing to subjugate sort of issues that matter within the party. And I'm not saying that's true, but I'm just saying it seems like that's what happens. We keep reinforcing. And so to me, the hope was that Trump getting elected would make everyone look at themselves and go, well, what do we need to do? How do we get maybe like, you know,
we
Bernie?
Call that the Susan Sarandon theory.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just think like, well,
guys. I just don't trust people to like exercise that level of introspection.
And they didn't.
And they didn't.
Even the fact that Bernie came so close to winning over Hillary. Now, they did adopt, the platform did change quite a bit to accommodate, you know, the more
Bernie
left,
wing.
Yeah, the Bernie wing of the party.
Yeah.
But that still wasn't enough for a lot of people.
At the same time in the last...
And I'm not saying that's why Hillary lost. I'm not saying
no,
that everybody...
And no one wants to relitigate. Like, we're all so bored. There's too much incendiary news. Like, but also, like, Bernie in the last 8 months has been like, we need to not stop... abortion can't be a litmus test for... And I'm like, no, fuck you. That's my basic bodily humanity.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like a niche issue, but it really is down to, like, does half the population get to decide what happens to their genitals?
Well, so like, that actually... You bring that up, and that was one of the questions I had... today's the 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade.
Hell yeah, let's get all the abortions!
Pew, pew, pew!
Yeah.
Speaking as the only person in this room that potentially have an abortion right now, I'm going to just stick with this pregnancy. I'm going to keep it.
Or, yeah.
I made my choice
but
today.
That is your choice!
Hashtag kill all men.
Thank you. And that's the important thing to remember. We're not pro-abortion. We're pro-choice. No one is like, I wish she'd had an abortion.
But the president said that you can choose, or a man can choose, to have that baby at 9 months. Remember
right,
his
right.
speech?
Yeah, his speech actually,
Remember his great words?
Did you guys hear that? He said, in America. I'm sorry, Anthony, please don't murder me. But like,
In America.
Here, right now, babies are being born from their mother's wombs at 9 months, and it has to stop.
And we're like, what is
what?
It? And my whole I tried to picture.
It
I tried. He said he meant to say torn, yes. But he said
he
born.
Did say it.
And people behind him are like, meh. And it's like, well, like is Eric? Well, we all know like Eric needs to go back in. He is underbaked. Like he's still
wait.
Wet.
Did he? Is
this Eric
new?
That's full 12 months.
You can look it up.
What the right to life
yeah.
thing?
Yeah, he said it. That was part of his right to
yes.
life march
oh
speech.
God.
But it's so interesting
Eric
too
was
because
underbaked.
I've seen
Mary and Paul from Great British Bake Off actually went
got
and poked.
Soggy
they poked Eric, and she went, "You should have a soggy
bottom."
And I have to say, there's not too much crunch on Eric when I bite in. So
it's a disappointing bake.
Yeah, I love it. I just cried desperately at the Nadia winning season 2.
So good.
Now this is too inside baseball
for
me.
I'd hit up
Ian. But no, I want to talk about Roe v. Wade. Okay. All right. So how do we? Because you bring that up, and that's interesting to me too. Of the idea of that, like,
Me too.
How do we? Yes. Hashtag Me Too.
Hashtag Me Too.
Every time I say Me Too now, I'm like, I'm not talking about sexual assault. I just mean Me Too. I agree with you. So it's not hashtag Me Too, it's just Me Too.
It's just Me Too, but you have to say that not the hashtag.
Just the plain Me Too. So
plain Me Too.
How do we convince the rest of the country that abortion rights and birth, like, you know, birth control and an equal pay, all of that is many sides of the same coin, that it's all about women being treated less than, and that, you know, the Roe v. Wade revolutionized, women will have abortions no matter what. We can outlaw it and they will still have abortions. They will go into an alley and they will die. So allow this changed our lives. It allowed us to take control of who we are, make decisions about where we want to live and who we want to be with. I mean, and I've never had an abortion, but you know what I mean? Like the opportunity to decide with my own body what I want to do with my life made me equal to men, and women fought for that. So how do we convince people that this isn't just us wanting to murder babies, that it's part of saying, like, we need to be in control of our own lives? Because men have always had that, right? Men were always able to get someone pregnant and walk away, and then she's the one that was left to take care of it however she wanted to have the baby or not. So how do we win that messaging more?
Kill the men.
Okay.
But no, I'm kidding. Me too.
I'm game. I'm going to have this man first, though, in my body before I start killing all the men.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No,
yeah.
You don't kill them.
Yeah.
But I think it really is replacing men in power with women. I really do think that, like, well, yeah, I mean, I really do think that women aren't considered people. We're considered a flavor of person, a niche market. I mean, I really do think, like,
totally.
Like people say birth control, abortion is a woman issue. It's a for people. It's not, we're not people. Like, we're not the majority of people. And in fact,
because birth control is a human issue.
Human
because women,
issue.
Lesbians don't need birth control. Right?
No.
So it's women that have sex with men that need birth control. So therefore, it is a human issue. I'm not saying that lesbians aren't human. That's not what I meant. I mean, I'm just saying that it is a women and men issue. It like birth control protects you and your partner.
It's considered, even things like maternity leave is considered a woman niche market. You went to have a baby hobby, cute hobby issue. It is raising the human race, and it is, like, honestly, until they consider women as people, they're not going to change. Like, which is why I think that everyone at the what was it, the Golden Globes and things, all the Time's Up shit. People ask what the whole goal of the Time's Up movement and the Me Too, like how to solve that problem. The answer is to hire more women. And the answer is to put more women in positions of power.
So,
and that's it.
I feel like, Ariel, did you read my questions before the show? Because you're just, like, bringing everything back to, like,
oh, no. It's just, like, I'm just fuming. Is anyone else just angry all the time?
Yes. Yeah, also, abortion was a cynical thing, but arbitrary choice made by the Republican Party to seize control of the evangelical vote. There is no actual concern about it. It was just a choice that they made. It was a calculated thing. It was just something that they tried that happened to work, and no one actually fucking cares about it. It's just, you can look it up. They made the choice. They, like, Full Frontal shout out, did it, like, a really cool piece about it. But really, like, this guy came into our office and talked to us about how his dad was part of that movement, and he has since distanced himself from it and has written books about it and talks about it very candidly and openly. It was just a random choice. It was a shot in the dark, and it happened to work. And they seized upon a very passionate and fervent base that wanted to stop abortions, and that became a central tenet of the Republican Party's messaging because it worked and it got them money and it got them a base. They don't care.
They certainly don't give a fuck about children. They don't give an ever-living fuck about the lives. They would say, like, you know, pro-life. Fuck you. Like, if you were, you would have funded CHIP. Did you guys see that tweet from Mitch McConnell where he said, okay, Democrats, time to choose 800,000 DACA recipients versus, 800,000 Whatever. I've had three
800,000 chippies.
They call them the chimpies.
It was like 8 million kids on chip versus
versus like the whatever million DACA kids.
Basically, yeah. There's a kids too. It would be a shame if all these kids died.
It was Kids versus Kids, a new show on NBC this fall. Kids versus kid. Does DACA kids win or chip kids?
Put them in the Thunderdome.
They were brought here as kids. They have cancer at an early age. Who's going to climb to the top of the
cancer kids? Chip DACA kids. DACA kids.
DACA has fewer numbers, but they're like all 27 now.
We were talking about this real briefly at dinner. This is the one thing I want to add so that I'm not, but because we're talking about it, is that another issue with women's with abortion in women's bodies. No. It's not going to be in
this
stupid.
This is about Stormy Daniels.
It's not. Is that medicine has not worked in any way to develop effective birth control for women. What it has done instead is develop, pretty much stop developing most birth control medications pretty relatively early in the process. So a lot of birth control affects hormone production, can really create cystic acne, can create permanent mood change. So like one of the interesting things too, just in medicine, is that if we had more women in leadership roles, we would probably in medicine have actually developed better forms of birth control that would not harm women so deeply.
Or male birth control.
They tried that male birth control study, and remember, some guys had some pain from it, so they stopped. Yeah.
Yes, totally. Yeah. I've only had positive experiences with birth control. It makes my body better.
So that's my
JK,
point.
JK, it makes me miserable. And the thing
actually,
is,
like, I like
they
like
develop
the
birth
pill.
Control where everyone could take it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not on the pill now.
And men could take it. That would be good.
Hey guys, the pill works. Take it.
I love birth control, said the pregnant woman.
It worked great for me until I stopped taking it. And then I got knocked
so
out.
So good. You were like the not to be like four drinks in, but like you were like great. Sexy pregnant lady.
Thank you right? so much.
Like, dang.
Do you mind me saying that to your wife?
No,
you
it's
beautiful.
Okay. I agree.
Thank you.
But I'm sure that's a good one, right? It's just like if we develop real birth control, then like men could take it. Like women wouldn't have to be on the pill.
Yeah, because again,
like,
it's not a woman's issue. Birth control is a person who has sex with another person.
It's good for
but we were discussing it at dinner, talking about how bad it can be. So like,
yeah, and it's bad for men. It's bad for a lot of women too. And also, like, I'm in my
for women, I think late 30s. Take a pill.
So I don't want to go back on the pill after I have this kid. You know,
fuck no.
You know, so Charlie's gonna have to get surgery.
Snip, snip.
So actually, I wanted to bring this back to the Me Too, and I wanted to give Charlie and Anthony a time to talk, because I feel like one of the things that I put this on the questions, and Charlie's like, I really don't want to talk about this.
Hand me a rope and a fucking tree.
Anthony,
why don't you fucking put yourself
chair.
And just
Anthony, step on the chair.
And finally, Anthony talks.
Yeah, finally.
I've been really quiet.
So, but I do want to give you guys a chance to talk, because I think part of the problem with Me Too and Time's Up is that we say we want men to be part of the conversation, and we need men to be part of the conversation, but they don't know how to necessarily add to the conversation necessarily. They're scared to add to the conversation. And then some people are just really bad at adding to the conversation. So, Anthony, you had a show that had one of the most diverse writers' rooms. You had a female co-female showrunner. You had
a female head writer. And Mitra wrote the show.
So
we had a majority women's writing room, majority women's floor staff. We had most women and heads of departments.
Yeah, and you hired pregnant ladies, because I worked on that show too.
That's right, and I hired.
And no one cared that I was pregnant. Yeah. But I want to talk to you about why. I mean, I know obviously, and
I wanted the best people for the job. That's why.
Right, but
to be honest with you,
well, it's amazing. But I think
so.
I think that it made a statement, especially on your show. Your show is about Donald Trump, who is notorious. It's all men, right? So
yeah.
I loved peering behind the curtain of your show and seeing that women were the ones that were shaping the narrative of the show.
Well,
about
we talked
Trump.
About this, I thought.
I think it was great. I just wanted to talk about that.
Well, what I was saying is, I think we said early on in the writer's room one time, I was like, what better a perspective to write for Trump than women, because they hear that shit all the time and not just from Trump. So who could write better for that voice than someone who hears that fucking voice all the time? One. And two, I guess there's a certain level of conscious decision that I remember when I went into the first meeting in Comedy Central, and I was like, I want there to be diversity, and I want there to be women above the line and below the line, which basically means in the production line, there's above the line are like producers and people like that, and then below the line are people generally that you sort of see in the credits that flash by. Did you hear that weird click that happened? It's pretty incredible.
How did you make that sound?
I'm trying to communicate to all of the audience. And so I think that for me, it made sense for me to sort of look at the show and go, the show is about a toxic person. I'm channeling somewhat a toxic part of my personality to do the character. I mean, I have to do him, and I'm improvising him a lot. So like, I have to like come up with fucked up shit to say. Something men, I think, sometimes aren't honest about is the level of toxicity in us and sort of the darkness that lives in us. And it lives, I'm sure it lives in women too. I'm not excluding, but like, I think that we don't acknowledge, I think we like to live in a space where we all want to say no, but not me, everyone else, but not me. And I think that that doesn't help.
That's the opposite of what, yeah. Me too?
Yeah. Exactly.
And I actually love that you say that because I love that you were like, time for men to talk. And I immediately was like, I have thoughts. Because my goal is to like take up a lot of room and just be like the woman-splainer. But I do think, me too, people say like, why do you think there's like so few women working on your show? I'm like, it's not my fucking problem. Like, ask my bosses. I don't know. And the same thing, like, I love my bosses, but same thing with the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement. It's not women's fucking problem to solve this. We are the victims and the recipients and the conduit of the actions of others. And it's y'all's fucking problem to solve it.
Well, also, you know, we're at this transitional time
I tried to solve.
You did a good job. You did tell. You did a great show. And as long as you're not like molesting anyone, good job. You're solving
it. No, Mitra can verify.
Yeah.
I wasn't molesting anybody. Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, there's nothing uncomfortable about being on a stage joking. And then your boss asking you if you molested you. You're going to be totally honest.
We're joking.
I'm kidding.
But the one thing I will say that I think is important in my perception of it was that when we were doing Trump, and I think it's a rule for any Trump humor, I know your boss is doing that cartoon thing, and I think that, like, I hope that people really get that, like, you trade in this humor. It's not a Trojan horse. It's not an excuse. And we met with a lot of writers who did not get this when we were interviewing. It's not an excuse to be racist, sexist, transphobic, homophobic. It's such bullshit. And what's happened
meaning
is...
Meaning because if you write for his voice...
Oh, you write for Trump's voice. And it's like, no. And yes, that's why you have so many articles about satire being dead and that fucking shit show over at NBC that doesn't understand how to actually represent... I don't give a fuck.
You're talking about Dateline NBC. NBC, right?
Daylight
How
NBC.
Dare you besmirch Daylight.
Talking about This Is Us.
You cannot. Yeah, This Is Us. You can't
sucks.
Just represent this point of view for the sake of getting laughs. You can't represent.
Dude,
it's
there
toxic.
Is a point of view.
There is a total
it.
Thing. We'll be writing jokes for like Stephen in the voice of Trump, and we'll write something, and like it is a weird like you know if you like lick a battery, you guys try it.
No, don't try it.
Feeling when you wake up in the morning, like. It gives you a weird zing in your mouth and your brain, and you can feel like you meant to be mocking Trump, but the thing is, no, you just actually sounded racist or sexist, and that shit comes out of my mouth too. But it is like kind of a natural a try
of course,
when you're writing.
You have to have checks
and
balances.
Oh no, that was an actual racism.
Also, I think
checks and balances.
It's important for us to remember too that we are in a transitional period. Like a lot of the Me Too and Time's Up stuff too is generational, right? So like some things in this movement that have come up. To a 50-year-old woman sound ridiculous, right? And then, but sound perfectly fine to a millennial. And then even me, I'm in my 30s. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that didn't occur to me that thing would be, you know, something that's offensive. And now I have to look at that and look at myself and look at my biases and the way I was raised and say, not to point fingers and say, you're wrong, that you know, you shouldn't feel that way, but to say, oh, I don't feel that way when I hear that. Let me examine what is, you know, it's an evolving thing. And that's why I think it's important to talk to men because a lot of men, you know, I'm not excusing things. It's never okay to pull your dick out when they don't want you to. It's okay to pull your dick out when someone wants you to.
Is that the same joke?
Yeah. I'm just saying this is an evolving thing where we need to be teaching men and women how to behave in spaces and be okay with saying that what men thought was okay 5 years ago isn't okay now. You know, like
maybe and was probably never okay,
right? Exactly,
but is definitely not acceptable now,
right? And it's so, and I think a lot of men are scared to ask questions about some of that stuff because some things are gray. I mean, there's definitely black and white things that you should never do, but there's a nuanced conversation that it's really hard to have that we should be having as parents. I should be having this. I'm going to be raising two sons, like, I need to be teaching them how to behave, and that means that we need to have a conversation and men need to be involved in that. So, you know, it's a tough thing to figure out how you guys get involved in a way that's productive and that you listen. And
listen.
Women need to listen too, because I'm telling you, it's generational. We all have different ideas of what is gray and not gray, and like we all need to listen to each other.
But it's also like, as someone who has been like dating and single recently, like the guys that I've been seeing always ask me whatever they do if it's okay, and it takes 1 second and then it's hot and it's easy. Like,
that's not
it
new.
Takes 1 second, but it kind of is, because
but I'm saying that's not new for some of us to be like to ask, like,
right? That's, yeah, but I will say no one has ever asked me permission to kiss me until after all of this, like, this conversation has really started.
And
it can be really sexy.
Like, and it is. So, the first time it happened, I was like,
yeah,
you fucking can.
That's not all you can do.
It makes me feel so. nothing is more sexy than like feeling like someone is like majorly respecting me and like wants to like pay homage to my bodily
and
autonomy.
Just listening, listening and caring about the space that I take up and the way that I walk around in the world and what I need from another person and what I want from another person. I also think, like, unless you're like a sociopath or someone who is like, for whatever reason, has like no empathy built into your mind, you know what a person wants from you and you know what a person doesn't want from you.
But bringing this back full circle of the Stormy Daniels conversation, we're also raising men in a internet digital age where they, like, you know, these guys, when you wanted to look at porn when you were a teenager,
it was hard
to do, and you had to
find magazines on the side of the fucking off-ramp.
Can I tell, up until recently, I thought men still looked at magazines.
Vintage.
For the boys who laughed.
No, it's a vintage thing.
But it's
difficult to think about raising, you know, raising sons in an age where all they have to do is just type anything in Google and they can get the most extreme, you know, and women in porn are like...
That goes for daughters too. I mean, everybody is.
Yeah, sure. I didn't get how, like, fucking worked for a really long time. Like,
right.
I'll tell you when you're older, honey.
Okay. But when I was growing up when like internet porn was like just kind of getting big, and it was like all these like big titted scared chicks, and I was
who come instantly.
It
requires
like,
no work.
Yeah, but the guys in those movies are really talented.
Oh yeah, they're like, first of all, really good at acting.
They're like a pizza man.
They're like 100 years old, really ugly and old.
No, I just
she's like porn.
Just to speak briefly about this, I think it's important for men to listen and to understand and to try to empathize and to, you know, I feel like in the last 6 months I haven't learned a lot because I feel like I was woke enough to know that there was a big systemic problem. But a couple of years ago when like the big news was like how women were getting harassed on the street with how many hours of street walking in New York video that went viral. You know, that to me was like, that video is crazy. And I asked my wife, I was like, well, that doesn't happen to you, right? Like, people don't harass you in the street. She was like, yeah, every day that happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, just being willing to listen and understand and realize that, you know, a lot of preconceptions are not true.
Call out other men.
That's the best part.
I was about
part.
To
call
say,
out
call out
bros.
Other men, man, because you know what? If you're a man in this audience and you're sitting there watching someone else do their bullshit, peacocking in front of you, you know it's bullshit. And don't let them shame them in front of them, because you and we all know the bullshit we sit through, and we collectively sit, especially when you're younger, and we want to feel a part of it, and we don't want to get ostracized, right? And so when you think about it,
Anthony is moving towards men in the front row.
Yay!
You need to learn how to check that shit before it gets out of control and ingrains itself in your mind.
If he's not eating your pussy and he's really dedicated to it,
he better be eating your pussy, I'll say that.
For every time you touch his dick, he better be three times
Three to one. Three to one pussy. Three to one pussy.
That is one of the biggest things
to me. Not to be TMI, but I recently had to tell that to a man. Like, that is one of...
Who doesn't eat pussy? That's crazy. Yeah,
that is one of the biggest things that makes me angry is that a lot of these women, a lot of women that like are self-described feminists are like, yeah, I don't have orgasms. I'm like, girl, then you're not a feminist.
I think my one time my mom described to me sex as being like 15 minutes of fuss for nothing.
Is your mom listening to this podcast? I hope not.
Oh, is this being recorded?
So, Cody, you're saying if you don't have orgasms, you're not a feminist.
I'm saying that women, that is, women have the ability to have orgasms just as much as men, scientifically. We have mental blocks.
Science.
We put expectations on ourselves. We're in our heads. And I think that you owe it to yourself as a feminist woman to demand high quality sex.
Yes, if I can like make myself say what you want
and say what you want
1 second when I'm alone, someone should be able to make me come when they fuck me.
Tattoo on the walkover. How you can not about that, but like about how you can see someone.
That's harassment, Anthony.
And based on their personality. No, based on their you want to say it because I thought it was a great point.
So what I was saying was like you can tell how someone has sex based on their personality. You can tell because if they're empathetic or if they're showboaty, the way they carry themselves physically through the world, if they talk over women. If they don't listen to you, you can tell the way that someone has sex based on the way that they make their way through the world. And like if someone is like, you know, elbowing me out of a conversation, whether it's verbally or physically, I'm like, well, I don't have to ever know what it's like to fuck you. I can already see you're bad at it and you don't care what happens to me.
Right.
So anyway.
I think it's our responsibility.
That was a great point. I think it's a great point.
And I think it's our responsibility just as it's men's responsibility to tell each other, to call each other out when they're being sexist. It is women's responsibility to say, it is your body and you need to have the confidence to say, no, I do not want that. Yes, I do want that. I like this. I don't like this. We owe it to ourselves to find out what we like, what we don't like, and to be loud and proud about it. That's a feminist thing, and we're not teaching our girls to do that.
We're not, and we're not teaching our men to ask, and both of those things are totally
and that's
crucial.
Why this conversation is important, because it is a conversation. Women are being taught one thing, men are being taught another, and there is a disconnect.
Men
and that's
are
why
being
we need
taught,
to teach.
Like, take what you want, and women are being taught, be submissive.
Yeah.
And that, so.
Okay, so, yeah.
And it's wrong.
We've run out of time. We're not going to talk about congestion pricing. Like
I know.
Charlie's just going to say we have run out of time, but that is a...
Wait, Governor Cuomo, if you're listening, go fuck yourself. Eat
fuck
a fucking
you, Cuomo.
Dick. Fix the fucking train.
This is why
you're
why we
a
don't
disgrace
have
to your fucking father.
But wait, I don't know if I agree with you guys. I want to say fuck de Blasio for being against congestion pricing.
Yeah.
And I got to give it up for Cuomo for being for it.
For
because
reasons.
We should not have private car ownership in New York City.
Bill de Blasio is a good friend of mine.
I really like Shirley.
Bill de Blasio is a very good friend of mine. I can't
say that. Well, it's complete bullshit him acting like poor people.
How dare you?
He's acting like poor people are driving their cars into their hospital appointments in the city and not.
They are.
No, they're not. They're stuck.
All I see at the hospital is poor people in their shit cars parking everywhere.
You should have to pay to bring your private car into Manhattan,
promise,
and I hope we
I
get it
I promise our next show will dedicate a whole half hour to congestion pricing. You've been dying to talk about it for like three shows.
I want to talk about I want to talk about Stormy Daniels and congestion pricing.
Wake up, poor people!
Charlie's like, all I want to talk about is porn and congestion pricing.
Stormy
That's
Daniels
it.
We need to talk about porn for, I'd say, 45 minutes.
No, that was good. No, but seriously... We need to fix the subway, and we need to, and we need to, and we need to fix
Jesus.
The congestion on our streets.
And women, go get your stuff.
We need to do that.
Powerful ending.
Do you own a car, Anthony?
No, are you fucking crazy?
Nobody owns a fucking car. Pay $11 to drive south of 60th Street.
I bike.
That's
get a
all
goddamn
I
bike.
Exactly. You got to pay $11 if you want to come into this fucking island.
I lay in my bed.
All right, wrap it up. Wrap it up.
We got to wrap it up. Let's thank our panel, Anthony Atamanek, Ariel Dumas, and Mitra Johari. Give it up for our panel, ladies and gentlemen. Come back next month on February 22nd for our next show, and join us for another beer in the bar right now. And don't forget to vote in midterm elections. Good night, everybody. Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you do hear them. This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.